Welcome to the off-season BWI Daily Edition, our live show. We are moving it to Tuesday because there's so much recruiting news that we want to get to that on Mondays because it's just bang, 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 so much information. So much so that we're having Ryan Snyder on the show. First time, I think, at least in a very long time, that he's going to be here on the show joining us to answer your questions. So let's get to it on the BWI Daily Edition. Welcome to the show, the star of this evening's broadcast. How you feeling? Are you ready to answer the internet's questions?
You know, when we brought this up the other day, like, answering recruiting questions in a public forum scares the hell out of me some days, just because I don't know what we're going to get. But, well, we'll do our best. I mean, obviously, there's some things that just can't really always talk about. But when 2024 being the majority of the focus now, there's a lot of broad, open-ended things that I think people need to learn, which is, I think, majority of our focus today. We can hit on Specko, we can hit on Chimney Onu, we can hit whatever you want, but yeah. I think just kind of familiarizing people with the 2024 class and what I see moving forward is the focus today.
Feels like a very important year as well, considering where Penn State was in 22, what happened in 23, following it up where it feels like there's some momentum. It's an important class. They're all important. That's really the point. But we'll be getting to all of that stuff today. So it's kind of a broad, open-ended thing, although I did come with some prepared topics. Okay. I would not walk blindly onto the internet with nothing to say, because that terrifies me. Like, you know those nightmares you have when you're pantsless at school, or like you're on stage and you don't know your lines? You never had
not
those?
Pantsless. Not oh, okay. Pantsless, no. But go on.
Just like you forgot something, right? Like you forgot to do something. Yeah, so we've got some things to talk about, but I want to hear from you. As always, here on the live show, the best way to get your questions on the air is to submit a super chat. They show up in big, colorful, shiny letters so I can see them. And when I'm hosting the show, talking to Ryan, doing a couple different things, getting everything set up, it helps me just to see them so I know that, okay, here's a question, we're going to get on the show. But of course, we'll answer your questions either way, but it helps out the channel greatly, and we want to have a conversation with you. So let's get to some of the stuff here. Let's see what the chat's warmed up for us. This is a great question, and it's going to kind of skip ahead to some of the stuff we were talking about off air. Kreiner says, where do we stand with the QBs in the 24 class? Momentum with Kroman Hoke still? So let's start there, and then I want to ask a follow-up question.
So it depends on what you consider momentum. I think Penn State will be in the mix with Luke. But if you follow Florida State recruiting, which I know you guys don't, but for my purposes, I need to follow it a little bit. I mean, their recruiting staff, the people we work with, they all still feel pretty confident Luke's going to stick with Florida State. I did actually just interview Luke just a couple days ago, actually, and we're going to have a story up on that soon. We've had so much going on with junior days and all that. I haven't gotten it up yet. I would say he likes Yurchus a lot. There's a lot of momentum from the perspective of he's talking to Penn State more, showing more interest. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he visits in the spring or summer. But I left that conversation thinking something needs to go wrong at Florida State if he's going to end up at Penn State. So he's going to keep taking more visits. I could see him going to a few more schools. But if I'm being honest right now, as of today, I don't really see Luke Kroman Hoke ending up at Penn State. So, you know, Penn State's going to keep digging. I mean, the one thing that really surprised me and I think stands out to Kroman Hoke as well is I think Franklin was there for game in October. Mm-hmm. Yurchus came for two games, his final two playoff games, semifinals and the finals in December. So the persistence-ness there, how constantly they've been in touch with him, trying to just build that relationship. That's always been Penn State's strength. That's a big reason why they have the success they are. They're just so persistent. I mean, it's a big reason why they got Specko today, which I'm sure we'll talk about. If I have to give an answer directly where I kind of think, I think Luke stays with Florida State. He's one of Florida State's best recruiters too. If you talk to guys being recruited by them, Luke Kroman Hoke is in their DMs and on Twitter and all the time.
So the question of quarterback, I think, is interesting because Drew Aller is a five-star quarterback. And kind of what I'm wondering is, you know, is Penn State going to be able to get another guy that's a high four-star, five-star, given that there was kind of the shadow that he cast on the class of 2023? But is that even the priority for Mike Yurcich? Because it does not seem like Mike Yurcich goes through and is like big arm talent, tall guy, kind of like the. It doesn't look like he's looking for specifically just the tools. It seems to be that there's more to it than that for him as a recruiter. Would you say that's a fair assessment, or is confused. That off?
I still don't know what Yurcich likes. And honestly, because if you just kind of look at what happened with Smolik, you look at Stokes, and then you look at some of the guys this year, Van Buren, Smaj Jones is in the region. Of course, you have Jaden Bradford. I mean, you would think there's mobility. He likes mobility, and maybe just Aller's arm talent and the fact that he was uncommitted and his rise, how it worked out. You know, right. It was just they had to go all in there. But they're not similar, I guess, would be the right word. So I think maybe this year we'll see where they go and we'll maybe get a little bit of a better feel. But, I can't say right now that Mike Yurcich has a type. I think he's just looking for the best players possible. Looking for definitely. Good athletes. But Drew Aller's a good athlete.
Yeah.
But he's not the athlete of some of the other guys they've recruiting. I mean, I think Jackson Smolik moves better than Drew Aller.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a fair thing to point out. The thing I wonder, and I guess this is kind of where my brain goes, is it not a physical trait that he's identifying, but more of a mental trait, something about the quarterback as a decision maker or as a processor of information? Because that is one thing I've noticed is that these guys seem to be high level minds at their level. And that's not necessarily the case all the time when it comes to quarterbacks that you see recruited. Even guys that are good don't necessarily have advanced level quarterback diagnostic skills. And I'm not mm-hmm. saying that that's the one thing he's looking for, but it is interesting because it doesn't seem to be that they're offering five-star after five, going after kind of the, it seems to be a unique group as you've pointed out.
The one thing I would add to that, which is like with that though, is like we saw, I mean, Marcus Stokes junior season to his senior season was different, but like Marcus Stokes doesn't really fit that though, you know, because Marcus Stokes forces plays and isn't always making smart decisions and things like that. And that was always kind of the thing I saw with Stokes was he has a lot of potential there, but he forces a lot more than like a Bo Prabula did or a Jackson Smolik. So again, that's where I come back to, like, I'm still kind of confused what Yurcich really, really wants and likes in a quarterback. So maybe we'll learn a little bit more this year with that, but I can't really pinpoint any one specific player that makes sense.
Jason in the comments today, he says, like the video. He's always here. Appreciate Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
If you like the video, you're helping us out. There's 1,000 of you watching, or I don't know. I don't know if you can see the
camera. We don't have 1,000. I wish.
We will someday. But like the video so we can get to 1,000 people watching. Steven says, no questions, just thanks. As always, Steven is here. So if you guys have a question, throw it in the chat. If you feel like donating like Steven, that's super awesome. Paul is here. BWI Daily equals Dad's Time. Cheers, gentlemen.
I was going to bring a beer for this, and I didn't. I'm mad.
Okay, but Paul Snyder is not related to you, correct?
I know. No, but he has a little beer emoji there, and it made me think, like, I wish I would have brought one of my trogues down. But no, I didn't.
I didn't know if that was your dad or something. No. I forget. Well, I met your dad. What's your dad's name again?
Alan.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I should have known that.
No.
Penn State is here, Ryan. Penn State says, we need five-star quarterbacks or high four-stars. Already have the ceiling of a mid-four with Clifford and a high three in McSorley. What do you do? So we are in the recruiting business, right? In all of this stuff. And at a certain point, looking specifically just at the stars isn't necessarily the full picture, is it? Like, well, I guess, how do you field this statement that isn't a question from Penn State?
Well, I mean, certainly the five-star players are, I mean, there's a reason they're five stars, right?
Yeah.
But I think, like, when you, like, Penn State's really sitting in that, I mean, we'll take Drew Aller out of the equation. They are sitting in that kind of low four-star, high three-star. That's where they've kind of made their living for the most part. And I do think that there's something to that of, you know, there is a next tier, and that's what we expect Drew Aller to be. The one thing I would say though, bring this back to 2024 is I'm not sure where that player is going to come from in 2024. And I'm not trying to be negative or pessimistic, but like Jaden Bradford is a good player. He's ranked like 99 right now in the 1-3 consensus. I mean, as we've just were talking about, I mean, Luke Cromanhook's definitely their top guy. I'd still lean towards him, ended up at Florida State. But I look at like Van Buren. Van Buren's ranked 67 right now, but Van Buren's like 5'11 too. And that's something Sean and I have hit on in a couple recent podcasts, is a lot of these guys do not have the height in this class. I mean, Jaden Bradford's 6 foot. Samaj Jones is like 5'10", 5'11-ish. We talked about KJ Jackson. He came out for a camp. He's a little bit taller at 6'2", 6'3". I'd be curious to see Anthony Maddox. He's a player out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, who I think is going to be up next weekend, I believe. Penn State offered him a couple weeks ago. Penn State also offered Alex Irby from Steele High just this past week. I've seen Alex a lot over the last years. Yeah, I mean, I want to learn more on just kind of is what was this offer? Because, I mean, we look at offers all the time, but they're not just, hey, here's a scholarship offer, come on over. And I think most of the people watching this kind of know how that works. I mean, is it more so, hey, we like a lot of what you're seeing here, but what is the ABC of that offer to get it to be committable, right? And this isn't just an Alex Irby thing. This is the same for KJ Jackson. This is for Samaj Jones. This is for all these guys. So, you know, do they want them to come to camp or anything like that? Like, I kind of need to learn those X factors before I get a better feel. I mean, right now, without a doubt, Luke Cromanhook sitting at the top, and then I'd probably have Van Buren as that next tier guy with maybe Jaden Bradford. I used to have Jaden Bradford kind of at the top. I kind of put Van Buren over him a little bit now too. But Van Buren and Jaden Bradford are the two that – I still think make the most sense. And they are
top
100
similar,
guys.
Right? They're both pretty similar in terms of, like you said, height.
Okay. Yeah. Like physically, yes, but like I haven't watched either of them live. And I personally, like, we can sit here and watch huddle film. We can pull things up that we like. But until I go watch Van Buren throw a pick that's terrible, or, you know, Jaden Bradford take a sack he never should have taken, those are the things you gotta see. You gotta see the negative plays, the mistakes to really evaluate a guy. And so I just haven't seen them yet. So I just don't want to run my mouth and say, you know, player X is this good when I might see him in a couple weeks out of camp and he's terrible. So
one thing I did get to see just one game of Van Buren, and it was when St. Francis was playing St. Thomas Aquinas. So I was watching the DBs. Or no, I'm sorry, Elliot Washington. I think they were playing Venice, and I was watching for Elliot Washington.
They did play Venice. That's right. Yeah.
A lot more with his legs than I was expecting. You know, like in that game specifically, and I was watching one player, not watching kind of the coverage and what was going on with the quarterback from that perspective. But just off the top of my head, like one thing I did notice, more of a runner than I was expecting from Van Buren. When we saw him in March at, this is 2 years ago now, at the Under Armour, was one of the better quarterbacks there, throws a nice ball. So watching him then be kind of more of a runner in that game, I thought was an interesting kind of dichotomy of what I was expecting. RS has a question here, and I'm going to get to it in 1 second, but I do want to ask you the next thing we've got to talk about today. Anthony Speca committed to Penn State. Now, we had a breaking news video earlier in the day. Check that out, Blue Wet Illustrated here on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any breaking news. But I just want to get your thoughts on him as a player and, this linebacking class. The thing I asked Fitz was, the way you guys have talked about it, pretty deep as far as number of players that can be considered for this position. Mm-hmm. They took 3 last year, though. So with Speca, what are the numbers shake out there for you? And then how do you think he fits into that hierarchy of linebackers?
It depends on, I think Aaron Childs is a player that really going to depend on something. So they like Childs a lot, but he's a true, actually, let me clarify. Childs could be a defensive end. So maybe he's not the best example. I like Gabriel Williams a lot. Let me get right to your question. They're definitely going to take one more. Maybe 2 more, maybe 3. But it's so hard to answer that on January 17th when, one, spring practice is going to tell us a lot. And it's not just guys leaving, but it's who's performing. You know, like for example, wide receiver. We're talking all about these transfers. Yeah, they have numbers of wide receivers, but it's pretty clear that they have concerns about who's performing and who's stepping up. So yeah, I would definitely expect one more, maybe 2 more. There's obviously a lot of youth at that position, so they don't need really a lot of numbers. I think Gabriel Williams is an interesting player from St. Vincent Paletti, or Paletti. I forget exactly what it's called. Paletti. He's top 100 now, I believe, in the on 300. Moves really well. I like Gabriel Williams a lot. I feel like he's someone that we haven't talked about enough. And then Chris Jones, too, of course. We've talked about Chris was just here this past weekend. So it's going to depend a lot. I think Spekka is a true Mike. Puts up a lot of great numbers, has to stay healthy. I think he's had minor injuries the last 2 years. So that's, I don't want to say it's a concern, but something to keep an eye on. But
yeah,
just a smart factor. Player, a true Mike, you know, somebody who can read the guards well. I don't know if he's going to be I think everybody looks at Penn State's linebackers as like those guys who can really run and, play in the pass. I mean, to me, there's some similarities to Kobe King, but he's a little bit smaller than what Kobe was coming out.
Yeah.
So, but Speck is also another guy, too, that I would love to go see in person. I mean, his huddle film, there's a lot to like on it. But again,
yep.
He's another guy I'd really like to see and go watch a game this year.
He's one of those guys, and this has tricked me a couple times, where quickness and short area abilities, especially in high school, makes you look super fast. And then you get the sideline to sideline stuff, and maybe you don't notice as much. And that's where, 40 times and track times and all of that stuff. That's why those are all super helpful. It's kind of putting everything into context, because even if you watch a full game, a guy can look quick and look fast, and not even just compared to his level, but just in general, look like what you're used to seeing of, okay, that fits the bill. But then, you get them in an environment where they're asked to do more stressful things, and you start to see some of the weaknesses, which is why everything is kind of, in recruiting and all this stuff, it's a bit of a gamble, like you're never going to fully know until the guy steps on the football field. One thing I do know, though, Ryan, is that this show is brought to you by Rogue Shop. This is the live show sponsor. They are the premier sponsor of the BWI Daily Edition, and we are thankful that they're here with us on the live show. Now, if you want to be with them, use promo code BWI for 10% off. Now, Rogue Shop is a husband and wife outfit. It's a small business. They craft cannabis specialized small batch sustainable plant medicine. And this isn't like your weed dealer on the corner. This is for a purpose, right? So they sell things with specific goals in mind, including CBD, which is scientifically proven to reduce inflammation throughout the body. If you have a chronic inflammation disease, this could be a helpful part of your Western medicine. Part not to replace it, to be a part of it. But one of the main things that I've seen in my life personally, and I've talked about here time and time again on the show, is sleep. Struggling with sleep, if you are inundated and oversaturated with stimulation and you have a hard time winding down at night, Delta 8 and Delta 9 are both proven to block the pain receptors in the brain, which will help with pain, another big part of what they want to do, and of course, help you with sleep. So if you are looking to get back into a rhythm and you are looking to make your life better, because the number one thing, the number one performance-enhancing drug is sleep. So check out RogueShop.com. Use promo code BWI for 10% off to let them know you're coming from us. And of course, to get yourself a little bit of a deal there at RogueShop.com. Ryan, Anthony Spekka, there is another potential, a third player that could join Penn State this week. We're on commit watch right now because Malik McClain was another player that visited this weekend in the transfer portal, another receiver. What do you know about McClain, and what can you tell us about what they're looking at if he is to join the Nittany Lions and why they'd want him?
Yeah, I mean, Penn State's really excited about him if they get him, which it's pointing that way. It's not quite done yet, which is why I don't think we've seen any announcements like that yet. But it's getting pretty close to being official, I believe. I don't know if it's going to come tonight, but we're watching it closely. Malik was a really good player coming out of high school. He's a 2021 guy, was a four-star prospect out of Florida. I mean, just from talking to the guys at Florida State, guys at War Chant who are clearly the best Florida State site. I mean, those guys are a behemoth. I wish our site was as big as theirs. But they kind of took me through. They thought he would be Florida State's second, third receiver last year. He was their fifth wide receiver this year. You've probably seen the stats, 17 catches, 206 yards, three touchdowns. So he got on the field, made an impact this year. And I think it's clearly a situation of just he sees what's ahead of him and you know, wants to be a number one guy, wants to be getting 40, 50 plus catches a year. So this works out really well from Penn State perspective. I don't believe NIL is having a big impact on this, which is good for Penn State, just not because Penn State doesn't want to pay guys or anything like that, but because there's a lot of other schools that are just throwing around crazy money at the moment.
There's a difference between NIL opportunities and here's a bag full of cash, which is
still kind of
a thing, right? That's the thing.
Oh, it's a major thing with the portal right now. I mean, there are hundreds of guys that are going in there just to get a bag. So, but one thing with Malik too is everybody I talk to is like good off the field, like good locker room guy, good character guy. Which Penn State's, I mean, if you look at Penn State's incoming transfers, I mean, they've all kind of, that's been a trait that they've really looked for as well. Yeah. So, but like I said, the War Chant guys thought he would be potentially Florida State's like number three wide receiver, number two, like really getting more, substantially more reps this upcoming year. So, aside from that, I didn't get to watch him a whole lot in high school. So I don't want to say I know too much, but Penn State really wants him. And you would add in what they have, Dante Cephas. These are two guys that absolutely should be able to get, 400 plus snaps next year, at least.
We have, I was distracted, but there's a full-on debate going in the chat right now that they're still on the quarterbacks. Like, we're still talking about quarterbacks between Ohio State and Penn State. But receiver, another part of that. And I do want to get to this question from, I just had it, Cameron Kurtz. Cameron says, how legit is Caden Saunders, I'm assuming here, instead of Stone Saunders.
No. He's talking about Stone Saunders. He's talking about Stone Bishop McDevitt.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bishop McDevitt. Yeah, thank you. I forgot about Stone for a second.
If Penn State has an offer by now, I don't see them offering. Put it that way. This is a guy in central Pennsylvania. They've seen him a lot. I think Stone Saunders is a good player. Clearly, Penn State doesn't see that him fitting their offense. I mean, Stone's going to go somewhere, and we'll see what he's able to do. Stone makes some forces, some throws. I mean, I think that's probably is the one thing he really needs to clean up is forcing throws. We saw that in the state championship game this year. But I mean, Stone has a lot of qualities. I mean,
Has he improved his windup? Because he had a big windup when I first saw him in ninth grade. Is that something you noticed at all?
I you notice that stuff way more than I do. I'm more focusing on getting the photo, getting the video, getting the interview, getting home. You know,
right.
That's why we brought you, T. Frank, to be that guy, so I can get back to what I do well, which is just the gift of gab and trying to build relationships. But I mean, Stone's going to be a good player. I just to get right to the point though, Penn State has an offer by now, especially when they just offered Alex Irby the other day, Central PA guy. They were just down here the other day, Ty Howe. And James Franklin, stopped by Steele High, stopped by CDE, stopped by Central York. I think Trinity as well. Messiah Mickens, 2026 guy, got an offer from Trinity. If that hasn't happened by now, I don't see it happening.
It's the BWI live show. We're asking Ryan Snyder questions about recruiting. We're also going to talk about the roster at some point on the show. Depending on what you guys bring up in the chat, we got some good questions today. Stephen Lisko, he's getting us back on track about 2024. This is a great question. Curious what 2024 prospect you think would be a great recruiter internally for the class, thinking of how the 2021 was.
Oh man, hold on. There's so many guys here. I got to pull up a list and kind of think about this. I mean, I would certainly say Cooper Cousins has done an awesome job so far, considering he's been the only guy for the longest time.
Yeah.
The amount of messages he's sending out, the amount of communication, the amount of visits he's taken to be that representative, to be that guy to push for commitments. I mean, Cooper's here, I feel like, every other couple of weeks now. So let's give Cooper his due. And because of that, I wouldn't be surprised at all if when we look back on this, Cooper was probably their best recruiter. I think Speca, too. Okay, so I got to bring up this with Speca. Speca's very close with Tamir Robinson. Of course, he's already committed. Very, very close with Quinton Martin. Those guys have been like very good friends from fourth, fifth, sixth grade, somewhere in that ballpark, playing youth ball together, playing other sports as well, basketball and whatnot. So I don't know how. I mean, Speca's very connected. That whole two-tenths, 7-on-7 group, Team Evolve out there, they're all very, very connected. I mean, there's not too many other guys that Penn State's going to go all in for other than Quinton Martin, of course, and Speca. I mean, those were the two guys that they absolutely, love. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. I'm trying to think of other guys to really answer your question. I like – I think Kevin Haywood makes a lot of sense. The offensive lineman out of Archbishop Wood. He's kind of grew up a Penn State fan. His sister's already here. Once he gets on board, I think that makes a lot of sense as well. Trying to think of a defensive guy. Chris Jones, he's the younger cousin of Kenny Sanders. I do feel like Penn State's emerging as the favorite there. But, man, I don't know. I got a list of 200 offers that I'm, like, trying to scan through at the moment.
So, right.
This is the hard thing with doing a live show is I get put on the spot and I'm trying to answer quickly. And I'll go with those guys for now. Quentin Martin, too, if he commits to Penn State, which I think that's going to be an Ohio State-Penn State battle. Kind of surprised no one's asked about him yet.
I don't think you understand, Ryan. Gavin's already called it. Quentin Martin committing to Penn State in the next few weeks. Book it. So, okay. You know, blind overconfidence. I love it. But Quentin Martin does bring up another topic I want to talk about, which is kind of the meat of the story is, you know, what are the top players, the strength of the region? That's always incredibly indicative of what I've seen anyway, of how well Penn State does in the recruiting cycle, whether they're able to finish the top 10 or in the top 15 are there top talents in the region? Can they get those guys secured to come to Happy Valley? Now, what is your take on the top players? Because I know Martin is on that list, and what are the strengths of the region?
So depends on what you call the region. I think the Mid-Atlantic region is like the easy way to say it, but To me, you have to include Ohio, even though I know Ohio State's going to dominate there. They recruit enough there where you kind of have to include that. And kind of going up to New England, too. So I look at like that 400-mile or so bubble is kind of what I consider the region. So if you include the New England states and you include Ohio, right now there are 51 players inside the On 300 for 2024. So this On 300 is going to get changed a bunch over the next year. But 51 to start is excellent. Looking back to recent years, that number is usually high 30s, low 40s, depending on what year you look at. So as of now, this is one of the better years in the region. A couple things I'll go through with that, though. Ohio is absolutely stacked for 2024. How many players is Penn State going to get out of Ohio? It's kind of tough to say at the moment. There aren't too many guys. I mean, I was looking at the Armstrong twins for a long time. They just got an offer from Ohio State. We'll see what happens there. Maryland's actually on an up year. They currently have 8 players inside the On 300. If you look back to last year, I think it was only 5. The year before that was like 7. So they're up a little bit. New Jersey, too. So New Jersey, remember for a long time, it felt like we talked about New Jersey as like being a really important state for Penn State. Jersey's been down quite a bit over the last 2-3 years. I think 2023, they finished with just 3 guys in the On 300. That was 2022. 2023, they finished with 5 inside the On 300. Right now, they're 7. So that's a good, considerable jump up. Pennsylvania has 6 right now. That's actually a little bit down compared to what we've seen in recent years. Although it's been 5, 7, 8. So it's not crazy down, but just a little bit down from some norms. So it's a good region overall. To get in specific players, this is where I kind of struggle a little bit, because when you look at the top 100 guys, like, so if I'm looking at just the top 100 right now, you know, you have Dylan Stewart up there at number 5. Do I see Dylan Stewart ending up at Penn State? Probably not. And then I really have to go down to probably Liam Andrews at number 41 before I look at, this is a player Penn State realistically can land, and maybe, just maybe, he could get up a little bit higher and get to that 5-star bubble range. But this is what we hit on this a lot for 2023 class, was if you want to have a top 10 class, you have to land 5-star players. And right now in the region, I don't see too many 5-star players that Penn State can absolutely land. Now, there's also a lot of good players, though, too. Josiah Brown's number 50 right now. He's going to be back at Penn State, I believe, this weekend or next. Really important player there. You have Quentin Martin at 73. You have Gabriel Williams, as I mentioned earlier, at 81. Vabu Torre at 79. Jalen McClain at 99. Good talent there. And this has kind of been the issue with Penn State, though. And this was the issue with 2023 class, too. It's not a bad issue. They're getting 4-star talent. But those top 50 or so guys, they're not getting enough of them. Andrew Rapoyer just jumped into spot number 49 today. And that's something they need to get more. I mean, the staff would absolutely tell you if they could get more top 100 guys, you know, it does make a difference. I mean, that's why Georgia didn't have many 5-stars this year. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I think they had like 1 or 2, which is down a little bit for Georgia. But they were absolutely stacked in 4-stars. And not only did they have a ton of 4-stars, but the vast majority of them were top 150 guys.
Right. Yeah. And that makes sense that maybe if you're not getting the 32 5-stars, if you get 33 through 50, 100.
Yeah,
right. Well, you're doing great.
But definitely top 100. you know, top 75. I mean, Penn State can land 3, 4, 5 top 75 guys every year. It makes a difference in those rankings. I know the rankings only mean so much, but for the most part, those top 75 guys, you're going to hit on 60-70% of them.
So let's take a quick detour to something that happened today, and then I want to get back to 2024 because it's perfect timing to talk about the top 100 players in 2023. The final rankings, as you just mentioned, came out for On3. So take us through the highlights of the risers, the fallers, and where Penn State landed on what you just said, top 100 players, top 75.
So, Andrew Rapier was the big jump. Well, let's look at the numbers first. Penn State came into the day with 12 a dozen players inside the On 300. This is the final ranking. They finished with 11. Tamir Robinson dropped out. We all know Tamir's a talented player. Yep. He hasn't played football since October 21. And, you know, I don't want to say we, because I'm not part of the scouting process, but talking to Charles, talking to the guys that all do that, I mean, they tell me all the time how much they don't want to drop players because of injury. But it's really hard not to do when everybody else, you're seeing all this progression, all this growth. Yep. And then you only had, what, three, four games out of Tamir as a junior. And then, yep, of course, he didn't play at all this year. So he was always in that bottom half of the top 300 and just kind of slowly started trickling down. He dropped from about 270 out of the On 300. So Penn State finishes with 11 guys inside the top 300. They have four top 100 players, which is good. I mean, that's what Penn State needs to do. They need to get a few more top 50 players. I think that would really help them. Of course, Jamin Williams finishes with a five-star ranking, number 9 in the country. Andrew Rapier made a nice jump. I think it was about 30 spots or so from number 80 to number 49. He finishes inside the top 50. Andrew absolutely earned it. I mean, you don't look at his stats. They're nothing crazy because Milton doesn't throw the ball and, you know, have one of those kind of offenses. But, man, just his film is, I think, probably the most impressive of the year. Yep. So he truly earned it. You have Birchmeyer then at 74, and then Tony Rojas is the next guy that made a really impressive move up from 108 to 86, I believe it was. I've talked about Rojas a million times. The playoff game I intended was without a doubt the most impressive game I saw this year of any specific player in this class. So just to rattle through the rest of them, you have King Mack at number 113. You have Jameel Lyons at 155. Joey Schlafler was another one who made a nice move up to 158. He was previously 187. Kavion Keys, 171. Elliot Washington, 194. Elliot actually dropped a little bit after the Under Armour game. Just didn't hear a lot of talk about him. I was out in California at the time. I apologize. I probably didn't do my best coverage for the All-Star games this year because we were all just – I mean, Penn State only gets to the Rose Bowl so often, right? So we were so focused on the Rose Bowl. Yeah. I do need to catch up with our guys and learn a little bit more out there. Elliot Washington runs really well. There's a lot of physical traits that he likes.
Yeah.
Just whether he was getting beat up a little bit out there, I'm not sure. But he did take a sizable drop from 143 to 194. Go ahead, T. Frank. You want to say something?
Well, watching him and his film – one of the things that I notice is like kind of the same thing with Storm Duck. They play very specific coverage and they play very specific style of coverage, very specific technique. And then when I see them playing in other coverages, it's a lot of the same. So if you know what to expect from as a quarterback or as an offensive coordinator, even on the high school level, you know, athleticism can only get you so far. I'm very high on Elliot Washington. I think he's got a lot of talent and I see good things. So I'm surprised he's dropped down to nearly 200.
The one thing I'll add too is give Sean credit. He had a great report today. Sean Fitz, of course, our coworker, on a couple of the freshmen who have really impressed since they got here. And that's just testing and stuff. Obviously, they're not practicing right now, so we don't want to overthink it too much. But Elliot Washington was one of the guys he highlighted there. I'll save the information for, obviously, our subscribers. Appreciate all you guys who are subscribing and watching us as well. But Elliot is one of those guys who came in, tested really well for those preliminary tests. And, you know, we'll see where it goes from there. But just two other guys, too, that were in there I got to mention. Zion Tracy didn't change at all, stayed at number 200. And then Anthony Donko. Guy just keeps moving up every time they do these rankings, man. Yeah. He was previously number 273, so sitting right on that bubble, all the way up to 216 now. So there's a ton of potential with Donko. We've talked about this a bunch now. Once he gets in there with Troutwine, refines some of his hand placement, footwork, it'll go a long way for him. So Penn State finishes, like I said, 11 guys. Almost all of them are top 200. A lot of, I mean, like, again, you look at that range, that 74 to 200 range. That's where Penn State's been living for a long time now.
Yeah.
They can get a few more guys in that very upper half, which you saw 2 years ago, of course, and you had that great class. It goes a long way.
We got a couple more minutes with Ryan. He's got another work function, more interviews to do. So we're here live. We're here live on the BWI Daily Edition. For those of you new, come in, take your coat off, have a seat for a couple minutes. And if you got a question for Ryan, throw it in the chat. I should have said that a couple minutes ago because we've got a lot more people here. So if you want to ask a question about 2024 recruiting, please feel free to throw it in the chat. A couple things we got to clean up here. And unfortunately, none of them have to do with recruiting. Two kids, one wife, all it says. Wanted to finally give you credit for some awesome shelves, T-Frank. Yes, I'm taking a couple minutes to brag about this. I built this studio myself. Both of these. So that is right here. This one over here is handcrafted, live-edged cherry wood. And then this one behind me on this side, I'm terrible at pointing. I refinished that myself. That's an old table that I cut in half, and then I use it as a floating shelf on the wall. So I do, in fact.
As you can see, I've really done a lot of work with mine. I literally hung these two. I hung these two because I'm in my basement and it's a little echoey. So I was like, maybe if I hang some things, it'll help. It did not help at all. I've done zero work. I've lived in this house since July 25th. So you've inspired me, T-Frank, to maybe spruce up my background. Go ahead. Take it.
We got a question, though, coming from Two Kids, One Wife, All PSU. When do you expect a resolution of McLean vis-a-vis the Penn State commitment, or
soon.
If it doesn't?
Soon. Everybody seems to think this is pretty much done. I'll be honest. I mean, Sean's been focused on transfer portal more than myself with the junior days and trying to build those lists and track Speca down and all that stuff. Sean would answer that question better. But I kind of, at 7:35 tonight, I'd kind of be a little surprised if it was tonight, especially because Malik just kind of announced, he put his little graphic up about Florida State a little bit ago. Tomorrow would not surprise me at all. So do I honestly know? I don't know. But Everybody seems to be hinting that this is pretty much done. So we're just waiting for final word before we go without ourselves.
Also, the way this works is you spread out the goodies as much as possible, right? Penn State's not going to have two commitments on the same day. They're going to, first off, move on from the weekend and some of those things that happened, and Anthony Speca commits, and then another day, maybe tomorrow, maybe the other day, just kind of spread out the social media, make sure you get that boost every single day. That's how I read how they do things. I wanted to get to 100 different things on the show today. We got a lot of stuff going on. Frank hits on one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is spring ball. Ryan follows the team. He covers the team. And, you know, all of these things are interconnected and related. He asks this, and this is going to be our intro into some spring ball talk. Tyler Elsden doesn't get much attention. I don't know if that's true. What are your thoughts on his talent and contribution level at linebacker?
I'll throw it to you, T. Frank. I mean, you've watched it. I honestly, and I'm not trying to duck the question, but like, I've gone to so many high school games this year. Like, how many Penn State games did I attend this year? Like four? You know, like, obviously, true. I go back and watch some film and stuff. And I follow the team, and obviously, I go to practice and things like that. But you watched him substantially more than I did this year. I'm always at these high school games on Fridays and Saturdays. I mean, I think there's a lot to like about Elsden.
Yeah,
but if I'm being honest, I thought Kobe King came on stronger towards the end. I thought the Rose Bowl was one of his best games from what I saw.
Yeah.
And right now I lean a little bit more towards Kobe personally.
Yeah, so there were a couple mental mistakes with Kobe, and that's always been the thing, right? Is like on one play, you're supposed to read and then react, right? So he reads that the tight end is blocking and then he blitzes, except the tight end was faking and then went out for a pass route. Luckily, he was able to get pressure on the play and then the ball was incomplete. But I would still consider that as a mistake where there are two guys rushing when there needed to be one. So that's kind of like a small thing, just kind of details like that that didn't kill Penn State. But in big games, you need to be, you know, those are still some of the things he's working through. With Elsden, those are not the issues. He's in his gap when he needs to be. The problem is when he is a little bit off, like he needs to be perfect. And this is one of the things we talked about with Speca on the breaking news today is Speca has short arms and Elsden has short arms. And I know that some people roll their eyes at that sort of thing, but literally if you don't have the arm length to wrap up, That's why you want to have arm length as a linebacker, not just to shed blocks with offensive linemen. But there are a couple of plays. I watched Elsdon be in the hole. He had the running back. He had him around the legs, and he bounced off because he couldn't wrap up. And you know, when he's right and he's in the hole and he's making plays. But there's very little margin for error with Tyler Elsdon. And I think that's why you've got a very polarizing opinion of him throughout a lot of Penn State football community fans and all of those, you know, the different spheres of Penn State fandom. Of some people love him because he's tough and gritty and he plays hard and he's smart. And then some people are constantly trying to move on from a guy like Tyler Elsdon. And there's a value to having him on the football roster. And he did provide value and good play throughout the season. It's just, it's those moments where you go, uh-oh, against those top five teams, you know, these are the moments, these are the things that can be exposed. Let's see. Penn State, I think, has another question here. I want to read it first. How do you foresee the wide receiver coach having an impact on the wide receiver recruiting in 2024?
I don't know. I got to figure out who the guy is first. I mean,
but that has to be a part of it, right? So let's start there. Has to be right. A part of the recruiting process has to be a big factor in the hire, not just the development side, right?
I mean, I think that's a big reason why Stubbs isn't here anymore. Sean and I talked about this yesterday. I'm not saying that they were perfectly developed. I mean, there's definitely things that can improve this year, but when you look at the production on the field for what the talent is, I'm not trying to talk down on certain players or anything, but for what they have and for what they produced, it's kind of what I expected, maybe a little bit below average. I mean, the recruiting was more of an issue, especially with this portal and everything that's kind of gone down. I mean, I talked about how Dante Thornton and Caden Prather don't even visit. And maybe that was all NIL. I don't know. But to me, it was more of a recruiting issue than an on-the-field thing with Stubbs. So whoever the new coach is, yeah, he's got to be a dynamic recruiter. They need an influx of talent at that position. In my opinion, 2024, if I'm looking at the most important positions, I think offensive line is going to be a really important position. I know I'm changing this subject a little bit here.
No. I want to get to that. We need to get to that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, how about this? Do you want to talk about wide receiver coach at all? Because I want to answer his question.
I want you to take that. I have no opinion on that. I think you're saying all the correct things. I would just be agreeing with you.
Yeah, it just depends on who he is. I mean, is there going to be a guy that has regional ties? Is it going to be, I don't want to say a Manny Diaz situation, but someone who has a name, you know, some cachet, someone that's been at, you know, a prominent school that got let go. I don't know who it's going to be. So when we know, I can give you a way better answer there.
I'm sorry. I cannot help but pick at this scab. The first name, Bobby Engram. I'm just like, I don't know. It, the low hanging fruit always is the thing. Maybe, but I think that when Penn State fans, I would just say when it comes to an open coaching position, don't immediately go to the first legacy player you can think of. There are a lot of candidates, and there's only a few of those guys that even sort of fit. But let's get to this class and where you think Penn State needs to hit hard in 2024. What are the positions you think they need to nail? You started with offensive line, right? Let's get back to that.
Yeah, well, just when I look at the talent in the region, right? I mean, offensive line is going to be absolutely one of the best positions in the region. Right now, there's 11 players inside the ON 300 that live within 400, 450 or so miles of State College. And that is by far the most. The only other one, I think it was corners and defensive ends. I think corners are 7 inside the ON 300. And then defensive ends, I believe, was 8 inside the ON 300. So, and it makes sense, right? There's more offensive linemen compared to some other positions. So there should be a few more there. But within the region, it's certainly one of the best. And then look at the roster. There are 9 offensive linemen for 2023 who have fourth-year eligibility or higher. So, you know, Hunter Norzad and some of those guys are all going to be gone. Alou's going to be gone. He's going to go to the NFL. But then you have, you know, the Jimmy Chris of the world, the Golden Ashumas of the world, guys who haven't quite got on the field. Do they portal? Do they graduate? You know, things like that. I mean, Golden Ashumas, I think, has been more injury-related. So would an injury scholarship be in the talks there? I don't know. But that's going to be something to watch as far as those numbers moving down the road. So I think offensive line will absolutely be a position where I could see more than three. I mean, there's a reason they're going hard for Chimnione right now too. And yeah. they need bona fide tackles as well. That's important. Wide receiver, there's young talent there, but they clearly see something from a talent perspective that they need to address. I think it's a big reason why they're trying to get another wide receiver coach, as we just mentioned. So wide receiver, another spot where I could see a handful of guys. Running backs becoming a position where I just kind of feel like they're going to take two every year. And we'll see what happens in the portal. But just when I look up and down, I mean, is Katron and Nick always going to stay together? I know Penn State fans are like, stop, don't ever, you know, shut your mouth. But will that be something that happens down the road, right?
Right.
Would Katron or Nick ever consider, hey, I can go to freaking Clemson or something. I know I'm just throwing schools out there and be the sole guy. So just, you got to just keep that in mind with the portal. That's what's so hard. And that's why I think, I mean, when you look at some talent too, there's not a ton of talent in the region, but they're in decent shape with some guys outside the region where two running backs is possible. And then defensive tackles. And I saw somebody in the chat earlier mention defensive tackles and how important it is. And I'm totally with you. I mean, to me, getting bona fide defensive tackles, studs in the middle there, has been one of the biggest issues Penn State's had for a while now. I mean, going back to in Franklin's tenure. I mean, before that, they were getting, going back to the Jared Odrick days and whatnot, they were producing, just top players there, top NFL guys. And that we're not really seeing that right now. The issue, though, regionally, it's not a good year for defensive tackle. So that's going to be an issue. Penn State's going to have to go outside the region. You know, right now there's only three top 300 guys. Jordan Thomas from New Jersey, D.D. Holmes from Gonzaga, which is basically Washington, D.C. And there's Ernest Wheeler, who's down in IMG, is going to get all the attention in the world, but is originally from Baltimore. I'm including him in that because he's from Baltimore. And that's it, you know, when it comes to top talent. So that is going to be an issue. Honestly, I thought Penn State would be going harder for defensive tackles in the portal than they have. I just don't think they see the talent there. I think that's all it really comes down to.
Yeah.
But the defensive tackle, I've talked about that for a long time, is, man, if they can get some studs in there, it'll make a big difference for them.
Yeah, and college is still an area where the talent gulf can be what you need, right? So I think a lot of our modern ideas, at least my modern ideas about football, are all shaped kind of by NFL and those theories of, you know, everyone's relatively in this bandwidth. But in college, you find a three technique and you can get a three technique and a nose that are both 300 pounds plus and can both move. You've now changed the mathematics on the football field. Ryan, thank you so much. I hear your phone blowing up and I don't want to take any more of your time. So
not yet. I did just get a text though. I got to get these. Sorry guys. I wish I could stay all night. I have to get a couple of interviews done because I'm trying to build this junior day list, obviously, for the weekend. And then I do actually need to like help my wife and put my kids to bed and bath time and all that stuff. So we will do this more next week. I'm a little busy, T-Frank, as I talked to you about, but what is it? The final Tuesday in January, I should be free. Let's try and book it then. All right.
All right. That'll do it for the BWI Daily Edition. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have the mailbag show. I should have said this at the beginning. Make sure if you're listening here on the podcast, 5-star review plus your question. We will absolutely get your question on the mailbag show tomorrow. And of course, BlueWhiteIllustrated.com on the BWI Daily mailbag submission thread. We will be taking questions from there as well. People thought I was saying we're only taking questions from 5-star reviews and that ruffled some feathers. No, that's not what's happening. But we are saying if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will be answering your question and maybe it'll get that, you know, priority service because we're trying to grow our podcast. We're trying to grow YouTube and we appreciate your support. Ryan, thanks so much. Thank you to everyone who contributed tonight. A tight 47 minutes. I could have gone another hour talking about all this stuff with Ryan, but we'll leave that for another day.
If
once
only
again,
I didn't have kids. Sorry, T-Frank.
Mailbag coming up tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.